Okay, we're ready to start our next talk from Alexander on finite element analysis. So please welcome Alexander.
Good afternoon. My name is Alexander Dubas, and I'm from the United Kingdom Atomic Energy Authority, and I'm giving a talk on selecting a finite element analysis backend for exascale fusion reactor simulations. First of all, if you're not familiar, I'm going to give you a brief introduction to fusion and the challenges behind it. Simply put, we take two isotopes of hydrogen, smash them together, and we get some helium, a neutron, and lots of energy out. So we take the two isotopes we use typically are deuterium and tritium. Deuterium is a naturally occurring isotope that's in everybody here, in all the seawater, and it's thoroughly abundant on Earth. Tritium is less abundant, but with a fusion reactor that's well designed, you can breed your very own fuel inside your reactor. The energy distribution mostly comes out in this neutron here, and I'll come back to that later. It's about 80% of the energy. So how do you do fusion? Well, you need to generate a plasma first to get your nuclei free of their electron shielding, and we do this by magnetically confining it in a set of magnetic fields, which have a set of coils, an inner coil, poloidal and toroidal field coils, which both confine and shape the plasma. In most fusion reactor designs, these are superconductors. It's debatable as to whether the high temperature superconductors will work or low temperature superconductors. But currently in progress, being built in the south of France, is ITER. This one does use superconducting magnets, and you can see the plasma chamber in the middle of this picture here. This is an international collaboration, and its aim is to ultimately prove that we can get more energy out of fusion than we put in. It roughly costs, and it's not finished yet, so there are no actual figures, but it's in the order of £20 billion. Now, this is rather expensive, so it would be nice if we could simulate this inside a computer and know it's going to work before we actually invest in building a large building and spending a lot of money. So, how do we simulate it? Well, it turns out it's actually quite challenging. First of all, we need to capture the energy from these fast neutrons, so we need neutronic simulations. And because it's magnetically confined, it's electromagnetic simulations. Obviously, the magnets are going to maybe induce some structural deflections, as well as the weight of the machine itself, so that's going to deflect that, and that's going to change your neutronic simulations. And you want, generally, to get the heat out of your system, so we need thermal simulations, and then we don't want all the heat to stay in one place, so we use fluid simulations to extract it, and so this is a highly connected multi-physics problem. So there are two ways of approaching the multi-physics issue. One is a single tightly coupled simulation, so you have one single executable solving a large linear system with all the physics involved. Now, this ensures that you're capturing all your strongly coupled phenomena, but it's numerically challenging to build this, and some say it's not even possible. The alternative is you take your best-in-class solvers for each of your independent physics and you couple them with a third-party library. This is an easier method, so you're guaranteed the best performance for each individual class of physics, and it's easy to decouple the ones you don't need for your current simulation, but the temporal accuracy may suffer and you might not capture strongly coupled physics if you get it wrong. So the approach we're focusing on in our current work is looking at a single tightly coupled simulation using finite elements, and so we need to select a back end to build our finite elements simulation on. Now, we need to select this finite element backend in an objective fashion, rather than going, oh, I know how to use this one, let's just use that because it's my favorite and my mate works on it. So I'm presenting today our objective method, which includes a lot of subjectivity, but we'll get to that. So how do you define a set of objective criteria to benchmark your finite element libraries? Well, for one, to simulate a fusion reactor is going to require somewhere in the order of an exascale machine. So it's an exascale simulation, and it has to be designed as a parallel code from the outset. You're not going to reach the performance required without a parallel-first approach, and therefore, parallel-first is our first criterion. The second criterion, so we need to be able to run on whatever computing resources we have available, which could be anywhere in the world, especially with the cloud, including locations without internet access on your batch nodes. Could be any number of processors. So you need to have one a license that will scale to any number of processors that you want to use. And ideally, we want to be able to permit extension and modification. So naturally, this would lead you to an open source license. Except, not necessarily. Theoretically, you could license software that is both permissive and proprietary, but no one's that brave. So another problem, there are no exascale machines yet. So what does it look like? It could be a multitude of highly vectorized CPUs. It could be a mixture of OpenMP and MPI, so shared and distributed memory paradigms. It could be solely GPU or heavily GPU. So one of the criteria is to have a very portable library that supports a variety of architectures. One of our criteria also is that we want to be able to add to our back end if we need to, and so it has to be open to external contribution, so that's permission, and also we have to be able to add to it easily and not waste time, so that generally requires that we follow good software engineering practices. So finally, our main criterion is it has to be well supported, including a good community around it, forums where questions are answered, mailing lists or IRC rooms, workshops and tutorials, and good documentation both for developers and for users, which are slightly different. Now, there are also some implicit criteria. One is that it's a compiled language that we need. Interpreted languages are getting very good.